might need my help there. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock. Good morning, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages. It is 5:51 in the a.m. Thanks for tuning in to the Showbiz Beat. Congratulations to my buddy Patton Oswalt. Ah, boy, this made me happy. Yesterday, news broke that he and his new girlfriend, Meredith Salinger, are engaged, planning to get married. You may remember Meredith as her role in the journey of Natty Gann alongside Judd Cusack many years ago. Very talented actress, and the two of them are very much in love. And, boy, I'm happy for these guys. And apparently, little 8-year-old Alice, Patton's daughter, just loves her as well. And a brand-new family has been born, and that's awesome and cool. So congratulations to those guys. And then the sad side of love, Marvel Comics legend Stan Lee, his wife of 69 years, Joan Lee, passed away yesterday. Can you believe that? Married for 69 years. That's crazy. They had two children together. Joan, who was 93, suffered a stroke earlier in the week and then passed away. So, man, it's a pretty good run. 69 years. And no 69 jokes, please. Have some respect. The Blue Man Group. Remember them? Blue Man Group. If you've ever been to Vegas, you know who the Blue Man Group are. Kevin, I think, knows who the Blue Man Group are, doesn't he? Doesn't he, Beer Mug? Doesn't he know? Doesn't Kevin know the Blue Man Group, who they are and what they do and stuff in Vegas?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Yep.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Said that. Blue Man Group was just purchased by Cirque du Soleil. Yeah, there's a Vegas merger made in heaven. The New York-based theater franchise, which, by the way, has performed in more than 20 countries. There's Blue Men Group all over the world. And they're seen by more than 35 million people on a regular basis. I can imagine what kind of money is involved in this. But the founder of the Blue Men Group said, "Only a global powerhouse like Cirque du Soleil could help us achieve our vision. It's an honor to join forces with their organization." No word on how much the deal is worth, but you can imagine it's a ton. And now I guess the Blue Man Group will be flying through the air in trapeze and crap like that. So,
have you ever seen Blue Man Group?
I have seen the Blue Man Group.
It's actually entertaining.
It's very entertaining. Yes, I enjoyed it enormously. They spit marshmallows and they hit drums and stuff flies off. But it sounds lame-ass, but trust me, you'll enjoy it. It's a good time. Here's an interesting film idea. Ang Lee has been announced, the director. He's going to do a sci-fi film called Gemini Man. Here's the premise. It's about an aging NSA agent who has announced he's going to retire. That doesn't sit well with his bosses, so he ends up being targeted by an assassin. All right, so far, nothing new here. However, the assassin is a younger clone of himself. How about that? The technology has finally caught up to this idea, which has been bouncing around for about 20 years now. But now they can cast someone and digitally give him youth, and so he can play both roles. Will Smith apparently is going to play the agent and the clone as well. And so, I don't know. I think it's a promising idea. A little reminiscent of Looper, however, remember, with Bruce Willis? But that was played by two different actors, so could be cool. Looking forward to it. This is sad. This makes me sad. Ricky Rocket, the drummer for Poison. That does make me sad, just Ricky Rocket. But the fact that he is, like most rock and rollers, he's got an ex-wife. Her name is Melanie. And she's got an interesting divorce deal. Apparently, this is according to TMZ.com, if Ricky goes on a full-scale tour with Poison, if they tour again, whatever child and spousal payments he's currently making double during the months that he's on tour, because he's making that much more money. That doesn't seem fair, right? Cut your deal, get what you get, and then that's what you get, regardless of how much money he's making. He shouldn't be penalized by being successful. He should be penalized for being in Poison, don't get me wrong, but not just because he's on tour. So that doesn't seem fair to me, but apparently she's got a better lawyer than he does. And if you weren't in Malaysia this week, you really missed out. You missed on seeing hundreds of people dressed up like cats as they set the Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people dressed up like cats.
Does Guinness just do anything now?
Apparently. You can just make up your own lame-ass records. And, oh, look at me. I'm in the book. In the town of Kuching in Malaysia this week, 440 cat lovers dressed up like cats in cat costumes with ears and whiskers and a tail. And 440 of them were enough to put them in the Guinness Book of Records. That you don't know. You don't get an award for that. There's 440 people dressed up like cats. You send in a drone strike. You take them out.
Stop it.
It's an opportunity right there. It's lost. The name Kuching, apparently in Malaysia, actually means cats. And the town is filled with cat museums and statues and, oh, my Lord. Oh, I got a new enemy. The people of Kuching. Now I know why Kevin's not here today. Just dawned on me. It's National Chocolate Day.
Oh.
That must be like Christmas at his house, right? He just rolls around in a wading pool full of chocolate. Let's take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Beatles drummer Ringo Starr celebrates his 77th birthday today. By the way, he's 77 years old today, on today, which is 7717, right? So, I don't know what that means. But. Also, Ringo, to celebrate, is asking you to think, say, or post peace and love at noon today. Ringo wants fans all over the world to do this when the clock strikes 12, wherever they are. And he says that peace and love can be accomplished just by thinking, saying it, or posting it. At noon today.
Hmm.
Shut up, old man. That's not how it works. Shelley Duvall is 68 years old today. Jim Gaffigan is 51. Georgia Fox, remember her from CSI? She is 49 years old today. That's Ralph. I walk the showbiz beat.
So your parents called a penis what, Allie, when they were teaching you stuff?
A Tom Dooley or a Jimmy Johnson.
Okay. All right.
That's not normal.
I mean, I think it is normal for a lot of parents.
Yeah. But girls have a hoo-ha.
Right.
Guys have a Jimmy Johnson.
Sure. So then at some point, is it confusing when you find out you get to school or whatever and you find out it's not called a hoo-ha, I would think?
I mean, I worked through it, but would it have been better if they started with penis? Sure.
Okay.
We should always start with penis.
The reason we're bringing this up is there's an interesting story in the news out of Scotland, by the way. The National Health Service over there in Greater Glasgow and the Sexual Health Service called Sandyford are starting a campaign to try to get parents to use the actual words of genitals for their little kids. In other words, don't call it a willy.
Mm-hmm.
Or your little flower or whatever, your winky. Don't use those terms. Go ahead and start off with penis and vagina, and that just otherwise you're teaching your kids that those are dirty words, and they're not dirty words. There's no reason to not say those words or know those words. Now, is that a useful campaign? Do you guys think? Does that make a lot of sense to y'all?
Sure, why not? Being this is America.
This is America.
Well, Scotland. Actually.
So this is Scotland. I don't know if there's any pushback on this or how well it's being received, but we asked producer Dave if there's anyone we could talk to, and sure enough, he got us. Sean McGinnis is on the line. He is from those services making this advice to new parents. Hey, Sean, how are you?
How are you doing this morning?
We're good. Well, we're fine.
Oh, glad to hear it.
We're fine. This is a very interesting topic. It's something, I mean, it's
right, it is. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about growing up. Here's the thing about raising children. We don't do this with any other body part. You don't go around saying, "Oh, where's your sniffer doodle?" and point at your nose.
That's true.
You don't go, "Oh, where are your big blinky peepers?" You call them eyes, don't you?
You do.
Yeah, that's true.
"Oh, where's your big slobber hole?" About the mouth, that'd be the mouth.
Mouth is the mouth, yes, okay.
We don't do this to our children with any other parts other than the sexual areas.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder they're confused and embarrassed and ashamed at their sexuality by the time they get in their teens.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So really, it's their parents who should know better that are probably too embarrassed to even say those words
that's
out loud.
That's what it is!
Yeah.
All
right.
That's the whole campaign.
They're taking their own insecurities and embarrassment about sexuality. And they're fostering onto their wee little ones.
Right, uh-huh. Right.
That's why we have to be more matter-of-fact. about using the words that are proper for their body parts.
Okay, it makes a lot of sense.
Their vulvas, their vaginas, their penises, for God's sake.
Right, just use those words.
Don't point the scrotum and say, oh, there's your haggis baggis.
I didn't know that was a term. That's
awful. You don't point to the penis and go, oh, look, it's the Loch Ness Monster. Coming out of Loch Ness.
Yeah, that'd be troubling, I think.
You say, oh, where's your bagpipe? You don't want to say that to a wee little one.
Right?
You don't want to say to a little girl, oh, where's your crafty crevice? You don't want to call it that.
No, you don't. You don't want to, not a crafty crevice, no.
Where are your fish flaps?
Nope.
You don't want to say that to a little girl.
No, I think we all agree on that.
Oh, where are those beef curtains?
Right. Okay.
You don't want to say that.
Right, you don't.
It'll give them a bad idea about sexuality in their own body.
Right. Understood, yes.
Stop using it as a meat wallet.
No. Not a meat wallet.
Come on now.
Are
parents saying that?
Yes, they are. They're going to Lee, wee little Annie, and saying, oh, take care of your cave of wonders. Don't touch yourself and your hippos yawn.
Hippos yawn.
That's right. Oh, dude, oh, you have to cover up Mom's glove box. You don't want that.
I think we agree with all of your points.
Is there something wrong with that girl there? Something's happening to her. Help her. Help her, I think she's got something caught in the stench trench.
It's 6:21 on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. It is a Friday morning, and because it's Friday, that means we take a look at all the new movies in theaters with the Movie Beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
That was? Boy, that was quick.
All that you know.
What are you doing, Muggs?
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
All right, you played the ending twice.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
That's so weird.
You played the
ending
jingle twice for the Movie Beat.
Oh, my God. I had the intro.
You are an endless fail.
I had the intro.
No, you didn't, obviously, because you played the outro twice.
Oh, my God. What's going on here?
Just play the music. Just play the music.
I don't know where it went. We're having technical issues right now because I had, during the last song, a song that wasn't linked to link up and play an element.
No one knows what that means. We're on the radio, Beer Mug.
I know. And I'm
just going to move forward.
Yeah, just move forward.
You go about your business.
Pretend like this nothing ever happened.
New movies in the Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Just a couple. One in limited release, one major blockbuster. I think that's why there's so few movies being released today, new movies, because no one wants to go up against the behemoth that is Spider-Man Homecoming. But there is a tiny little ghost story out there called A Ghost Story in limited release. It is from writer-director David Lowry. Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara star in this film. And Casey Affleck plays a young husband who dies early on in the film, but he returns to his home as a ghost to try to reconnect with his wife, who is grieving. Here's the hook, though. Here's the interesting part of this film. As a big FU to technology and, I don't know, the past 100 years of filmmaking, Casey Affleck appears in the movie as a ghost in a sheet with two holes cut out for his eyes. That's the premise and the execution of A Ghost Story. I think I have some clips from the trailer.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
This should play. This is a different system.
Because Muggs is here, and with Muggs, no things are possible. I believe here's some clips from the trailer of A Ghost Story.
When I was little and we used to move all the time, I would write these notes and I would fold them up really small and I would hide them.
What'd they say?
They were just like things I wanted to remember so that if I ever wanted to go back, there'd be a piece of me there waiting.
We build our legacy piece by piece. And maybe the whole world will remember you, or maybe just a couple of people, but you do what you can to make sure you're still around after you're gone.
Oh, I'm already depressed. It's not for me. You know what is for me? Spider-Man Homecoming! Tom Holland, his first outing as Spider-Man. Well, not quite, because, of course, he was in that Avengers Civil War movie, but his first full-length appearance as Spider-Man in a film of his own. And looks terrific. Peter Parker, of course. This is a another sort of reimagining of the origin of Spider-Man. We know that Tony Stark gives him his cool suit in this. And speaking of the Spidey suit, in this scene, Tom Holland, as Peter Parker, sneaked back into his room when his friend Ned, who was waiting for him to build a Lego Death Star, discovers that Peter is, in fact, the Amazing Spider-Man. Here's a clip from the movie.
You're the Spider-Man from YouTube.
I'm not.
You were on the ceiling.
What was it? Ned, what are you doing in my room?
You may let me in. You said we're going to finish a Death Star. She doesn't know.
Nobody knows. Well, I mean, Mr. Stark knows because he made my suit, but that's it.
Was Tony Stark made you that? Are you an Avenger?
Yeah, basically. You can't tell anybody about this. You gotta keep it a secret.
A secret? Why?
Because you know what she's like. If she finds out people try and kill me every single night, she's not going to let me do this anymore.
Okay. I'll level with you. I don't think I can keep this a secret. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
I can't believe this is happening right now.
This is Spider-Man as a kid once again. Going back to his teenage roots. Looks terrific. Michael Keaton also stars as the Vulture. Spider-Man's big bad in this film. Robert Downey Jr. stops in as Iron Man. Marissa Tomei is the hottest Aunt May ever. And this movie's just going to be a juggernaut. I think it'll make, I don't know, $85, $90 million this weekend. So buy your tickets early because a lot of screens are going to be selling out. But the big movie, of course, for the weekend is Spider-Man Homecoming. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
I was unfamiliar with this word, sologamy, but it makes sense that it would be... marrying yourself. These are people who are just, they're both parts of the couple.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
Why do you marry yourself?
I don't know. Perhaps this woman, Erica Anderson, being interviewed on the topic, she recently married herself. Perhaps she will enlighten us.
How would you describe self-marriage?
I would describe it as women saying yes to themselves.
And what does that mean?
It means that we are enough. Even if we're not partnered with someone else.
If you're enough, even though you're not partnered with someone else, why do you have to marry yourself?
Why do you have to marry yourself?
Because you're enough.
Why are you both looking at me?
Because you're a lady.
Well, I think I could do better.
This Erica is 37 years old and had a full-on wedding with a wedding dress and bouquets and bridesmaids and the photographer and the cake and the party and everything.
Oh,
is
Erica.
Is she right. lying to us, or did she wake up one day and go, I'm never going to get married and I want a wedding?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening here?
It might be. Because
I mean, she's... positioning it like it's not that though.
Right.
She's
yeah.
Positioning
which
it
is that I'm so happy with the way just me is happening
right.
that I want to commemorate that with a ceremony. So I'm very confused about sologamy, but it is a real thing. And we asked if there's somebody we could talk to on this topic. And Dave lined up a young man named Roger Cantwell. He is an advocate for sologamy. And maybe he can help us work through this since we're all so new to the topic. Mr. Cantwell, how are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. So how is this just one?
Why are you laughing?
Well, we're just happy to have you on the show,
well,
sir.
I'm happy to be here. Right. I'm happy to talk to almost anyone.
This Erica Anderson, we were just...
Yes, Erica.
Oh, you know her?
I know her well. I was at her wedding.
Okay. So is she just a nut job, to use the language of the president, or is this a trend that's actually happening and it's becoming more and more popular?
Of course it's actually happening. It actually happened. That's how I know it's actually happening.
No, but I mean more than just her.
Oh, many people are marrying themselves. I myself married me.
What? Then you tell us. What's the thought process that leads you to arrive at that decision?
I am enough. I love me and I accept myself wholly. I take my hand and hold myself as no one else will hold me. Mm-hmm. I treat myself better than anyone would ever treat me. Okay. And so I celebrate today myself. Me.
I see.
Yeah, it does sound pretty entitled. But don't you think you're kind of shutting yourself off from somebody that you could let enter your life by doing this?
Not at all. It leads me open to the idea that maybe someday I will find someone else who is also a sologamist, and then we can be solo together.
So then,
So
you would date that person?
I have no idea. I'm pretty faithful to myself.
I see. Oh. Okay. You don't want to cheat on you.
I hate the idea of cheating on me.
What if you fall in love with somebody who has married themselves?
I'm so in love with me, I can hardly imagine having room in my heart for another one.
Huh.
But I have spent the better part of my life alone, surprisingly.
Right. Yeah, it is, yeah.
And it really, I fell in love with myself at an early age.
Oh, dear.
Around 12.
Right. Okay.
And my sex life has been primarily, well, as I like to call it, Han Solo. And so my sexuality just naturally led me, I think, into sologamy.
Okay.
And when I get married,
yes.
I had a great... great wedding. It was almost $750,000, my wedding.
What?
What?
Yes, it was quite the affair. A large part of that was making tiny little tuxedos for my cats.
this is
that was part of the expense.
That was
expensive.
They're not cheap, those custom cats.
No. Right. Now, was this a sad day, Roger? Because it sounds sad just being on the outside of it.
Let me tell you something about my wedding.
Okay.
It was the happiest day of my life.
Oh, that's lovely.
As I looked into my own eyes.
How do you do that?
Said, you have to cross them severely.
I see, okay. Okay.
As I looked into my own eyes, and I said my vows to myself.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't. It was so hard to wait until the wedding night.
Oh,
oh, oh, no.
I just had to duck into a restaurant.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay.
Get me a little piece of me.
You do love you.
You have no idea.
How is married you different than single you, though?
Well.
Because doesn't single you do all those same things?
But when I was single with myself, we would go out more and party more. And now we're really so much more homebodies.
Okay. I see. Okay.
Have you seen the sex drop off?
No, actually, it's picked up considerably because we're spending less time out of the home.
I see.
And we just Netflix and chill a lot when we're home. It's more Pornhub and chill, but still,
there's
a lot of chilling.
Folks, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce, in a one-night-only benefit for the Animal Rights Fund, the Cranberries.
That's right, bitches. Thank you. Thank you so much. That, of course, was for my Emmy-winning performance on Charmed when I got to introduce the Cranberries that you just heard. We got very close, and I toured with them for a while. I was their drummer and lead singer.
It's the best of Kevin and Bean in the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. You're listening to the Showbiz Beat with me, Ralph Garman. Bringing you the latest and greatest in entertainment news, slaving over a hot microphone. I'm still here because I love you. Don't ever forget that. Speaking of love, why isn't this? Oh, now this isn't working.
What's going on?
What is wrong with you, beer mug? Why are you sabotaging me?
I promise, Ralph, I love you.
Speaking of love, Donald Trump's getting some love from Hollywood for a change. A poor orange bastard, always getting picked on by the liberal elites in Hollywood. Now he's getting some love from none other than Lindsay Lohan. Yeah, that's who you want on your side. Now the circle is complete. Ted Nugent, Anthony Zapato Jr., and now Lindsay Lohan stepping up.
Don't forget Scott Baio.
Don't forget Chachi, of course. Trump has a true friend in Lindsay. Hollywood Reporter claims Lindsay isn't pleased about people bashing our commander-in-chief. She suggested on Twitter, stop hashtag bullying him and start hashtag trusting him. Those aren't hashtags, by the way, Lindsay. And she said the first family are just kind people, she said. So Lindsay, once again, confirming the fact she's high. Hey, you want to be in Katy Perry's new music video? Swish, Swish? Actually, I like that Swish, Swish song. My daughter plays that around the house. She's 7, and she's growing up so quickly, and she has graduated from Disney and stuff right into pop music, and she listens to a ton of Katy Perry and some Taylor Swift.
Oh, no.
I know. I threatened her yesterday with a Taylor Swift ban in the house, and she got very upset. She's like, you wouldn't really do that, would you? I was like, no, just don't play it around me. But you can play it all the Katy Perry you want. This Swish Swish song off her new album. She's looking to make a music video. And if you'd like to be in it, you got to upload your best dance moves to YouTube, Instagram, or musica.ly. What is that? Is that a thing? Anyway, you put the hashtag Swish Swish Challenge. Hashtag Swish Swish Challenge with your best dance moves. Also, you got to tag at Katy Perry and at Dance On. You have to be at least 13 years old. You have to live in the United States. And you have to get all your dance moves up by July 12th. And the video will be filmed later this month. So you only have, about a week to get it done if you want to get updated. But Muggs, we got to get your dance moves up on consideration for this video. We got to get you in this video.
Is Swish Swish the same song where they had that backpack kid dancing on Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Wow.
Right? You can do that. We've seen that. You're talented in that area.
I am awful at that.
Yeah, you are. Do you know Bill Murray and his brothers have a Caddyshack restaurant?
What?
They do. The Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant and Bar is at the World Golf Village in St. Augustine, Florida. It's a restaurant opened by Bill and his brothers Andy, Ed, Brian, Joel, and John. They opened it in 2001, and it's a huge success. Well, they just announced they're building another Caddyshack restaurant in Rosemont, Illinois, Bill's hometown, just outside of Chicago. It's a hop, skip, and a jump from Chicago's O'Hare Airport. So if you're ever in O'Hare, you can check out the Murray Brothers restaurant. It's going to feature a golf simulation experience area. Besides the food and booze, you can play a round of virtual golf. The whole thing will open in December. I wonder if he'll show up. He probably will. He's everywhere, right? Bill Murray's
going to steal someone's fry off their plate.
Exactly. See, no one will ever believe you. And the New York Police Department is reporting a rise in the amount of groping complaints against the costume characters in Times Square. If you've ever been to New York City, you know Times Square area is much like Hollywood Boulevard is for us Angelenos down there by the Chinese Theater, where they've got the costume characters are out there trying to get photos with people for tips and that kind of thing. Well, New York City, that happens all the Times Square, and all the costume characters there apparently are grabbing everybody's junk. Especially the Donald Trump impersonator. It's okay. I can grab you there because I'm a star and you let me, okay? Unbelievable. It's the best. Friday night. It's tonight, 10 p.m. Kevin Smith and I taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose. It is so much fun. Hollywood Babylon's the name of the show. Me, Kevin Smith, you. Love to have you come out and join us. 10 p.m. tonight. Go to improv.com. Click on the Hollywood location, and the rest is a piece of cake. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Ringo Starr.
Oh, Ringo. I'm the luckiest drummer in the world.
He's 77 years old today. Shelley Duvall is 68. Jim Gaffigan, 51 years old, and actress Georgia Fox from CSI turns 49. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just, I don't like you.
Kevin.
Who gets hurt if I have to travel for work and I'm away from home and I FaceTime Linus, my dog? Who gets hurt? Linus loves it. He sees me.
Does he love it?
Yeah, he blogs about it all the time.
Does he blog about it? He blogs all the time.
I follow him on Twitter, and he's really witty. He says he doesn't like it so much.
He sees me, and he recognizes my face.
I wish Daddy would leave me alone.
And he recognizes my voice. It's good for him. It's super fun for me to be able to see him when I'm not.
Actually, he tweets like this. I wish Daddy would leave me alone.
Tell me who gets hurt. Tell me what the downside is.
It's just you're crazy.
Why, though?
I don't know why.
Well, go ahead.
It's not my doing.
No,
you're crazy.
Use your words and tell me why there's anything wrong with it. What's the possible downside of it?
You being crazy. I feel like I've made that point.
You haven't made any point.
I feel like that's a downside.
His case is rested.
Right?
So your only defense is that stop it.
That's my defense. Stop it.
Right. All right, what if it weren't me? What if it were Dave's adorable girlfriend, Krista, who you know and love so much?
I love Krista.
Who also Skypes with Rhonda Ruffey.
Krista is crazy.
Let's find out. Let's talk to Krista. Maybe she can win you over if I can. And Krista, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Good morning.
Do you hear the abuse I'm taking from the bad man?
I'm with you.
All right,
I'm
listen.
Totally with you.
I like Krista more than I like Bean.
That's why I thought she would be a good advocate for our position.
But do you Skype with your pet?
All the time.
Crazy. Just straight.
It's normal.
It's normal because you do it a lot.
No, it's normal because Rhonda loves me and she's mildly obsessed. So when I travel all the time, she needs to see my face.
Yeah, right. Seeing her face and hearing her voice gives Rhonda comfort. So
exactly.
Really, it's helping everyone. It's helping Dave. It's helping other people.
No, sure Krista is absolutely right. It's a complete win-win. There's no losers
yeah.
here. Krista feels better. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Krista, but I assume it makes you happy when you're away from home and you miss her. It makes you happy to see her and see that she's happy and well. And it makes her happy to
and
see
also
you.
To make sure that Dave hasn't
to feed her or something.
Well, yeah, so you're checking on your pet's health.
She's checking because to make sure Dave didn't kill her.
Because you don't trust Dave. That's very different.
Yeah, I don't trust Dave at all.
Well, Dave is in no way qualified to keep a pet alive over the course
Agreed.
Of the weekend. That's for sure.
All right, Krista, do you call yourself mommy about
yes.
your pet? You do?
Yeah.
I can't be friends with you anymore.
Aww.
But look, Kevin.
I'm sorry.
I don't think that's a deal
breaker. I've
known
Krista a long time.
Yeah.
This is not, it's not an equivalent. This is what you don't understand, Kevin.
I can't
it's
be friends
It's not an
anymore.
Equivalency between having a human child and having a pet. That's not what this is. But to Rhonda Ruffey, Krista is her mother. She is the person who takes care of her that she relies on and counts on to make sure that she is safe and healthy and happy.
Do you think the dog thinks that she's a her dog mother?
No, she just – it's a mother, a mothering
a
thing.
A caregiver.
Krista, do you call your dog a fur baby?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. All right. Now I'm out.
We've tried so hard,
Krista.
We've tried so hard to be friends with you, and it's just not working out. Get off my phone.
Krista, you keep doing what you're doing. It makes you a great pet parent to spend that much time being interested in caring about Rhonda.
That's what we're saying.
Thank you for calling, my dear. All right. Let's take Renee. She's on line one. She's in Huntington Beach, and she also is going to have my back here.
I think I need somebody to have my back. Why am I the only one speaking truth?
Because you're the only one who's wrong and is bad.
Renee in Huntington Beach. So you Skype with your pet?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Well, it's FaceTime, but I travel for work a few times a year, and I go for, 6 to 10 days. And so when I call, we have a special ringtone. Well, my husband has a special ringtone. And when my French bulldog hears the phone, she comes running.
Because she thinks there's
a
treat.
She knows the ringtone.
She's been telling us.
Yes. And she knows she's going to get to see you, right?
Yeah. So then
that's sweet.
They put me on FaceTime to hear my voice. And, obviously they don't speak, but...
Well, listen, like it would be
Mom.
Any surprise for you to say they speak.
No.
You and Bean.
She's not delusional.
You,
she's just saying that her pet
Dear
enjoys seeing her from
All right,
afar.
Get off my phone.
Come on, Kevin.
All right.
Hold on.
We need to continue this.
Let's put Will on because he may be on your side. He's in Yucaipa. He's on line two. Let's see what Will has to say.
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. So I have several dogs, and I am their daddy. But Skyping your dog is insane.
What's insane about it?
The part where you have to see your dog. Like, you can't just visit your dog when you get home.
First of all,
so I'm split on Will because he considers himself his pet's daddy. Crazy, but he won't Skype his pet, so a little more balanced.
Yeah.
Well, I think you should try it, and here's why. Because you know how you miss your dog when you're traveling?
Yeah.
You get to see your dog. You feel better and happier. Look, your pets make you happy. And
well,
if you can't
I'm
be with them.
I'm at home, and I've missed them, and it makes me love them just a little bit more.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder
there
for
you
Will.
Go. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think your dog might enjoy seeing you because your dog, dogs don't have the longest memory in the world. And I think they're happy when they
but
get
they
a chance.
But they understand Skype.
They do understand.
FaceTime.
No, but they know what
they're
Will
super
looks.
Happy to see their daddy on the screen.
But they know.
They understand.
That's only your dog's man.
They understand the 2D of a screen.
That is so angry.
And stupid Bean's face going, hey, doggy. That's so dumb.
I have two Chihuahuas and a Queensland Healer. And all three of them love me just a little bit more when I come home every day.
Will speaks truth, and he can be on my phone.
They would love you even more if you would check in once in a while when you're off whoring around, all right? Maybe check in with the family a little bit.
You turn on
whoring around here.
Former President Bill Clinton in the news, you guys. He has teamed up with James Patterson, who, by the way, I don't read Mr. Patterson's books. I guess he's written like 200 of them. He's one of the most prolific and best-selling authors in history. You can't be on an airplane without seeing about a dozen people reading a James Patterson book.
Yeah,
this guy churns them out. But he has decided to team up with former President Bill Clinton to write a book called The President Is Missing, which is actually kind of fascinating because, look, there's a lot of things we don't know about the real life being a president.
Right.
There's a lot of details involved in security and getting in and out of the White House and traveling and everything else that we don't have any idea because we've never been there and they don't usually share that kind of information.
But they don't share that kind of information because they can't.
I think some of it is that. Yeah, I think there are security reasons to not say some things. But just what's it like to be the president? And I think that is fascinating that that's what James Patterson is going to call upon the former president to get some insight into, make this book sound different from every other book that he's written. And I'm tempted to even say I might even read it. And I don't know.
Oh,
and
you'll read it. You love presidents so much.
I do love presidents a lot.
Yeah.
I don't read a lot of fiction, but this one sounds interesting to me. So what is Bill Clinton going to contribute to this book? We don't know. But we did ask Dave if we could get the former president on the line, and here he is, number 42, you guys, William Jefferson Clinton, back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Mr. President?
How much do you guys miss me?
All.
I mean, those were good times, sir. I'm not going to lie.
It's crazy, right?
Those were good times. Well, we didn't have you on to talk about politics today.
Because I don't want to talk about that.
Good. But
that's
this
all my rear view window.
Mm-hmm. Right. This announcement yesterday from Doubleday, though, that you and Mr. Patterson are teaming up, sounds kind of exciting.
It's really been a thrill to work with James Patterson. I'm a huge, huge fan of his work. And to be able to work with him and team up together to work on a novel and write this story has just been really one of the highlights of
now,
my
life. How much of the writing are you doing versus James?
I'm doing a lot of it.
You are?
Oh.
Yeah, it's really a 50-50 collaboration.
Really?
I came to James with the idea, and he's helping me flesh it out. But a lot of the dialogue and the actual writing is mine.
Is what you're contributing based on anything that happened to you in real life during your time in the White House?
No, this is a completely fictional story about a president named Jeff Clifton.
What's his name?
Jeff Clifton.
Jeff Clifton.
All right.
He's handsome, like a ladies' man type president. All the ladies want to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Women want him.
Right.
Men want to be him.
Right.
Okay.
And he's got a wife who is also a politician.
Oh,
weird.
Wow.
She couldn't beat a clown. There's an actual part of the story where a circus clown runs for president.
Right.
And he runs up against it.
And what's her name?
Millery.
And it's Millery.
So President Jeff Clifton has to become like a secret agent and go undercover to work for the United States because Russia's trying to hack into our elections.
All right, but this is it's not true, though. Nothing is true.
Completely fictional story.
Okay, all right.
It sounds a lot like what's going on right now.
Secret agent President Jeff Clifton puts on his tuxedo and gets all of his special secret agent equipment.
Right.
He goes deep undercover, and that's why they think the president is missing. But he's actually he's traveling from London to Tangier to Abu Dhabi on the hunt of this sexy female secret agent called Monica Bluedress.
I'm sorry, the name again, Mr. President?
Monica Bluedress.
Bluedress.
All right.
And
don't you have better people that could track her?
Well, no, because the president, he has an intimate knowledge of this secret agent.
Okay.
And she is carrying a secret microfilm in a cigar that he needs to find.
Right. A cigar again.
Yeah.
All right.
Down the cigar and find out where she could be hiding that cigar.
Right.
And he has to look high and he has to look low.
Right.
He's got to look really low.
Right.
Lower than that.
Okay.
And then he finds... And then, well, you'll have to read the book to see whether he finds a cigar or not.
I think we know.
And then the wife dies. I don't know why, but it's just a happy ending for everybody.
Look, we don't really have time for this feature, though, right?
Oh, we got so much time.
Yeah, we have... He's Mr. Bad Example. Bean really does try to reset things and make it clear so that everybody understands and has access to it.
Okay.
And yet, every example that he picks somehow is terrible. He's Mr.
Bad Example. He really sucks. He's Mr. Bad Example. Such a schmuck. He's Mr. Bad Example. You'll see what we mean. He's Mr. Bad Example. His name is Bean.
Look,
first of all, he assumes that people don't understand the most simple of concepts.
Right.
He feels obligated to try to explain the obvious. And then when he does so, it's a tremendous fail.
What kind of bad examples are we talking
about? The first one, Ralph is doing Showbiz about an award for best comedy series, Orange is the New Black. And here's Bean.
And for best ensemble cast in a comedy series, Orange is the New Black, they won because who's funnier?
Oh, my God.
Than
that kills me.
Oh, it's like just have to take one a break. Belly laugh after another on that
show. It's like
show.
The Three Stooges are back is what it's like.
No, it really is.
That was your example?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
That makes no sense.
We're talking about wacky comedies. Which are just like,
is it not? The Three Stooges are back?
Right, I was trying to make a...
Do they do physical comedy where they pound on each other's head?
How unlike they were that. That was the
Three Stooges?
We need it.
He's Mr. Bad Impressions.
But you had to go back to 1933 to find some comedy to reference?
It wasn't the best example I could pull.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
All right, here he's talking about hyper-realistic dreams.
But apparently they can feel very, very real, and they only seem to ever happen when people are in bed, when they are kind of in that dream. Drifting in and out state, and maybe it's a place where they are comfortable thinking about those things. It doesn't happen, in other words, while you're driving down the street or, you know, raking the leaves or something like that.
Right.
So
raking the leaves.
That's the thing. That's
right?
You're out there.
You're raking the leaves.
And then a succubus comes down. You're like, ooh, let's do it.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Raking the leaves.
What should I have said there?
Something people do.
Nobody rakes on a regular basis.
All right, we had a
we live in Massachusetts.
We had a contest where you could pick any band at Coachella and see them anywhere in the world. And this is Bean's example. The band is not playing Coachella. And so as far as we know, they're not playing where he's saying either.
So you want to see, hey, I love the Killers, and I've always wanted to go to Finland. You two and two together, you go, boom, that's it. I'm going to see the Killers in Finland. I mean, that's how it works.
Wait, I thought it was just people playing Coachella. Yeah.
It is. Or whoever. I'm just saying. Killers are not a good example. Finland's not a good example either. But my point is, you find someone on that Coachella bill.
An example of one of the 4,000 bands
in
playing
Bali.
Coachella.
How about Radiohead in Bali, I heard the lady say that one time. All right? That's maybe a better example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
For Coachella.
And that's how that works. The exact opposite of what he just said.
In case you didn't understand, you can pick a band and go to any country.
Who could understand that, Allie? We need an example or else we can't wrap our head around that concept.
Oh, we were talking about a guy's brain fluid leaking out over the course of 10 years.
Can you just imagine waking up every day with just a soaking wet pillow of fluid from your brain? And this went on for him for 10 years he lived with this.
And by the way, grab something bigger than a cotton ball at some point.
Yeah, just start wearing a turban or something, whatever you got to do, right?
Yes. Start wearing a turban.
I'm just saying something.
Yes, no, that's good.
You can't walk around with a towel on your head throughout your day. You put a turban on, though. That's a thing that people wear, and it might also soak up all the leaf.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Those super absorbent turbans.
I am standing by that.
You're standing by that. Go to live a simpler life. Just wear a soaking wet turban around your head.
All right. Talking about The Bachelorette.
Oh, come on. We got to be out by now.
Please.
We have like four more. Talking about The Bachelorette.
And she's a lawyer,
she
correct?
Is an attorney, yes. Okay. And there's several attorneys on the show this year.
I wonder
including
if she
attorney
won.
Jack Stone.
Well, that's
he'll
what
fight
you
for you.
I wonder if
I'm
she
hard
won
on crime.
Oh, okay.
And harder on Rachel.
Oh.
So in other words, Allie, you're wondering, would she not...
she want to go home to something she just left at work?
Right.
Oh,
or
so maybe
would
it's
she
negative.
Want somebody
or
to mix it
someone
up.
Someone totally different.
Like a cowboy or something.
Like a cowboy. Yes.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Like a cowboy.
Like a cowboy. She'd like to go on the open range. Fixing fences.
All right. Well, then you guys.
How many cowboys do you know?
Then you guys tell me what would be an example of an occupation that's more the opposite of an attorney,
a bartender,
than a cowboy. All right, maybe
gas station attendant.
Bartender would have been good too, I guess.
All right, we were talking
personal
about
trainer.
We were talking about things that you're excited about that no one else is. The topic is you're really excited about something and no one else cares.
It does happen a lot. I mean, I see the world's cleanest rest stop and I'm excited, you know, but I can't get anyone on board. But I will tell you,
what? What? The worst example ever.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Is that a thing?
The world's cleanest rest stop.
top. And he's excited. That's his example. And by the way, he's not
excited.
And how would you even know which one was the cleanest?
Right?
Do they keep track of such things?
Yes, there's an app.
And finally, the inspirational story of the 101-year-old that was skydiving.
How hard is it to skydive?
I mean, basically, somebody's just... Either you're jumping out of a plane or somebody's pushing you.
I'm saying he didn't climb Everest.
Right.
He's 101. He's jumping out of a plane.
But you know what he's not doing is sitting in a wheelchair with a, you know, with a blanket wrapped around him watching Mannix.
That's very true.
Why Mannix, though? Why was that the goal?
I don't know. It hasn't been on in 40.
I don't even know what Mannix is. What is Mannix?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Look,
there have been... What year was that on, Bean?
I don't know, Ralph. Early 70s? You think?
Yeah, mid-70s, 75, 76, yeah.
How many TV shows you think there have been that I could have chosen?
A million? Thousands?
Yeah.
And tens of thousands?
And you went with Mannix.
I don't know why.
Could have said the Three Stooges would have been a better reference.
I'll tell you why.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. It is 7:55 in the morning, and I'm Ralph with the Showbiz Beat, bringing you the latest in show business news while the boys are on vacation. Congratulations to our pal Patton Oswalt and his lovely now fiancée Meredith Salinger. Yesterday was announced that they are indeed engaged, which makes me very happy because they seem like they're very much in love. And Patton is one of the good guys. And this Meredith Salinger seems pretty terrific. So, good for them. Brand new couple. You may remember Meredith from The Journey of Natty Gann. Love that Disney film with John Cusack. And I want to say Ray Weiss, I think, was also in that. Anyway, congratulations to that lovely couple. From love to more love. Like Donald Trump. Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan loves her some Trump. She has gone in defense of the commander-in-chief on Twitter, asking America to stop hashtag bullying him and start trusting him. And she also tells us that she believes the first family is full of kind people. And I think we all know that to be true. Especially seeing those hunting pictures with Donald Jr. and Eric. You know how kind they are. Andrew Garfield needs to shut up. Maybe. He has ticked off the entire LGBTQ community while talking to the press about Angels in America. He is currently doing that play. And he kicked off a firestorm on social media when he said that in preparing for the role that he is a gay man right now. Just without the physical act. He plays a gay man in the production. And he says he's a gay man right now. Just without the physical act. And he said he prepared for his latest role by watching RuPaul's Drag Race with a group of friends every Sunday night. Come on, Andrew. Shut up, man. You better say nothing at all. Some real-life gay people said on the internet this week that Andrew has a very limited view of what being gay actually is. And they were less than impressed with his comments. Yeah, it turns out gay guys just don't sit around watching RuPaul's Drag Race every week. It's not really part of the experience. I'm sure some of them do, but I'm just saying. Coldplay! They got this Kaleidoscope EP coming out soon, and a new track has just been dropped. Dropped yesterday, as a matter of fact. There's an animated music video, too. The song is called Aliens, and it's about beings from other planets saving themselves from dangers at home. So there might be a message in there someplace buried for us. All the proceeds to the new song go to MOAS, which is the Migrant Offshore Aid Station. It's an international charity which rescues migrants and refugees in peril at sea in the Mediterranean, which is pretty cool. If you want to see this song, you see the video and hear the song, you can go to krock.com to get the whole thing. But it's a very cool song. It's got a Brian Eno sound vibe to it because it was written by him. And of course, he was the producer was Marcus Draves, who I think worked with Arcade Fire and Mumford and Sons, Kings of Leon. Anyway, great song. Here is a little taste of it, new from Coldplay, their new track, Aliens.
But if you want to call me, call this love.
tune. It is going to be in their Kaleidoscope EP, which will be available to stream on July 14th. That's next week sometime. And then physical copies on CD and vinyl will touch down on August 4th. You can check that out. Tonight at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I take the stage yet again for Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. Love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com to get you more information and tickets. Meanwhile, let's check out today's celebrity birthdays. Ringo Starr, legendary drummer for the Beatles, is 77 years old today. For his birthday, he asks everyone at noon today, stop what you're doing and text, write, or think, or say, or post peace and love, because he thinks that will make make peace and love everywhere on the planet. Someone needs to explain to Ringo how things work. Shelley Duvall is 68 years old today. Jeez, I hope she's doing okay. She's had some mental problems lately. I hope she's getting help. Jim Gaffigan is 51. And Georgia Fox, you may remember her from CSI, 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Arian Foster is a name you may know. He, I think, is probably best known as a Houston, Texas, an NFL running back. And he, for some reason, spent about 3 hours on Twitter yesterday debating with his followers as to whether or not he could take a wolf or not.
Yeah. One-on-one.
In a one-on-one fight, could Arian Foster beat up a wolf? Now, do we have – is there any deep background on this that I am unaware of, Allie? How did this get started? Like, why – where did this even begin?
The man just has thoughts.
All right. And, he has wolf thoughts.
He has wolf thoughts. And when you have those thoughts and you're kind of working through them, why not take a little debate stance with other people that might have, you know, anti-wolf thoughts? And then it just becomes a debate.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, it went on for about 3 hours, so we'll try to hit some of the highlights in the back and forth in the Twitterverse that was yesterday. So, would you like to play the part of Arian Foster, Allie?
Would I?
And then I will play the detractors.
Absolutely.
All right. So it starts yesterday afternoon, and he begins it with what?
Want to go camping, but wildlife scares the S out of me. I honestly think I can get a wolf one on one though. What?
So at that point, 2,000-something people liked the tweet that he thinks he can go one-on-one with a wolf.
Right.
And the first to respond is user Electric One, who writes back.
But what does he go by?
He's a Beaver Sutherland.
Thank you.
He's Beaver Sutherland. And here's what he types to Arian Foster. You could take down a wolf? Wow. You'd be dead within 10 minutes. Arian's not having any of that, though.
I'm 230. Wolves are what, 180, 200 tops? He has no thumbs. If I control his neck, he's donezo.
All right, so it sounds like Mr. Foster has given this a great deal of thought.
Then he goes on. Wolves don't scare me like that, because in my neighborhood was a bunch of loose and rage pits. If he alone, I think I could get him.
So did Arian Foster have experience growing up with having to, like, be always on alert for a pit bull in the neighborhood?
He had to protect himself from a loose and raged pit.
Okay, so that's about the same as a wolf,
his
right? Because dogs equal wolves.
Yeah, he's good.
All right, so Beaver writes back, wolves bite so hard that all they have to do is get a hold of one part of you, would tear you apart. So Beaver is not at all assuaged. He's still putting his money down on the wolf.
But then Arian comes back with this. How are we going to bite with half a jaw? Right?
And that's because Arian Foster would have done what?
He would have handled it. He would have punched him, and then that jaw just snaps right in half.
Wow.
How are we going to bite with half a jaw?
All right. Senior Eric now weighs in. But wolves hunt in packs, he tells Arian.
This is where it gets real good. Arian comes back with probably the most genius thing I've ever heard. None of them have thumbs.
All right. Joby One Kenobi weighs in. Arian, I feel like you were giving opposable thumbs too much credit. Didn't you see The Gray? Wolves are nature's Wu-Tang Clan.
Although, good point. Arian comes back with this. Thumbs means I can grab him. He can't grab me. All he has is a mouth. Grab his neck, he can't bite. Plus, I have the advantage of honking about the wolf, like I'm prepared. If we run into each other in my head, oh yeah, it's on, wolf. He's just like, what's this aggressive species threatening me? And then this. I've studied the wolf. He can't read. I know his weaknesses. Plus the thumb thing.
So Arian feels like he would be better prepared in a one-on-one battle because he has done the research.
He's done the research, and that wolf isn't reading his timeline. He doesn't know he's coming for him.
Wolf has no idea what's about to go down.
None.
All right. Not Terry Collins writes in. Arian Foster, again, he will claw an artery open or claw your face off. Then you go to grab your arm and he chews your face off. It's a lose-lose. So Arian Foster is not convincing the Twitterverse that he's still the man on in this fight.
I think he won over a lot of people with this one. Bro, you think a wolf knows where my artery is? All of a sudden I'm fighting a wolf that knows biology?
Don't animals have pretty good internal radar on how to fight?
I think
if you're a wolf, I think you've got some. I mean, you may not be able to read it or write it, but I think you kind of know what part of another animal to attack. Yeah. I don't think a human is much different than anything else a wolf is fighting, do you?
I mean, you're reading too much into this.
Beefer weighs back in. This has been debated before, and those who know say a man has no chance versus a wild wolf. 90% of Twitter would die.
I'm in the 10%. What about his teeth and claws? This ain't a video game. One hit and I'm done. It's a fight. So he's basically saying this isn't a back and forth. He's just going to get him one time and he's done.
Just take him down.
Yeah, he continues on with, if he bites me, his main weapon is immobilized. Then he becomes vulnerable. This is why thumbs are so important.
Ah, back to the thumbs. Now, look, I get that Arian Foster is a tremendous physical specimen. You're not a running back in the NFL unless you've got a lot going for you.
Sure.
He's going to win in most fights in most situations against people. But he's still just a human, right?
I believe he is.
And a wolf is just a wolf.
I believe that to be true.
Dwayne Brown writes in, who is an NFL player himself, right?
Yeah, I believe.
Dwayne Brown, 76?
Mm-hmm.
He weighs in to the controversy now. Was scared to pet my silver lab.
Not scared he'd bite me, scared he'd try me, and I'd have to kill your dog.
Whoa. All right. Now here's where it starts to get ugly. This is where the Twitter sphere is getting annoyed at Arian.
They are fed up with Arian.
They're fed up with all of his confidence. Frijole Forever writes in to Arian Foster. A wolf also hasn't had a groin, hamstring, and knee injuries in the last 6 years. Advantage, wolf. So he's basically bringing Arian Foster down as damaged goods, as not the peak physical specimen that he claims to be.
Mm-hmm. Here's what he says about that wolf. Also hasn't been to 4 Pro Bowls, overcome those injuries, and doesn't have thumbs. Advantage me, effer.
Yay!
Arian.
Ladies and gentlemen. There it is, Arian Foster versus the Wolf. And I'm telling you, and you said it earlier today, Ellie, if somebody doesn't immediately put a pay-per-view together, then we are just leaving money on the table. Spider-Man Homecoming opens up in theaters everywhere on Friday, July the 7th. Here's a little bit of what you're going to hear. And by the way, reviews are pouring in now, and people are loving it. And how can you not? Check it out.
Good evening, Peter. You have 576 possible web-shooter combinations.
That is awesome.
I can keep that suit?
Yeah, doesn't fit me.
So when's our next retreat?
What, next mission? We'll call you.
Mr. Stark,
here's my report for tonight. I stopped the Grand Theft bicycle.
Hey, could you do me a favor? Hold on to them.
Is this anybody's bike?
Oh, I helped this old lady and she bought me a churro. So, that was nice.
Sick of Mr. Stark treating me like a kid.
But you are a kid.
Yeah, a kid who can stop a bus with his bare hand.
He is a kid, and he's wearing the Spider-Man suit in Spider-Man Homecoming. We are delighted to welcome Tom Holland to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Tom,
good morning,
how are you?
Guys. How are you?
What's going on, my friend?
I am chilling in my bed, enjoying a nice morning of phoner interviews, and all is good.
Let's talk about this this interview schedule that you've been on, because you've been around the world promoting Spider-Man for a while now. Where all have you been, Tom?
I have been everywhere. I think we've been on tour for a month now. I think we have about 2.5 weeks left. And it's been crazy. It's been a real whirlwind. It took a lot of getting used to. Jet lag is something that has never really affected me ever until now. Yeah. And it has hit me like a train. But I've had a lot of fun while doing it.
I mean, and you have to be breathing, you and everyone at Marvel have to be breathing such a sigh of relief now that the reviews are starting to come out and people can't find enough words to say how great this movie is. You must love that.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't know how stressed I was until the stress went away.
Huh.
And it's been such a labor of love, this movie, and the crew and the director and the cast all worked so hard to make this movie what it is. So for me, it's just so wonderful to see everyone's hard work pay off, you know?
Yeah,
and everyone can really sort of accomplish what they wanted to.
I was reading about the process
of the auditions, the sending in tapes, then meeting with the guys, this, that. Not only that, it was 5 months, and then afterwards it was, okay, we're going to call you tomorrow, let you know. We're going to call you tomorrow and let you know. Weeks would go by, and then how did you finally find out that you landed this role?
It was too long of a process, you know. Mm-hmm. It basically, my whole life became Spider-Man. All I could do online was search for Spider-Man news. All I was doing was reading Spider-Man comics and trying to learn about the character and going to the gym. And they said after my last audition, we will let you know tomorrow. Stay here in Atlanta because you're going to need to start filming in like 3 days. So I was like, oh, okay, this is great. At least if I don't get it, I'm going to find out tomorrow.
Right.
And then 6 weeks later, I'm on Instagram in my bed, and I see a picture that Marvel had posted saying, go to our website to find out who the new Spider-Man is.
And did your heart sink right then? Like, clearly they would have told me.
Yeah, you know, I was like, well, it's over. I haven't got it. I should read the article, you know, just to pay respects to the other kid and stuff and this and that. But it said my name, and I went absolutely ballistic, and I couldn't believe it.
That is incredible.
Was that a mix-up? Like, did somebody try to get a hold of you to tell you the news in person but just were unable to reach you? Or is this what their plan was all along, was for you to find out online?
I think what happened is the news leaked. Someone must have leaked it, and then they did a press release to try and make it look like it didn't leak.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do love, though, that your brother was like, nope, they've been hacked. You didn't get it.
Yeah, my brother was like, dude, come on. Really? They would call you. That's just complete and utter nonsense. And then I called up the studio and was like, can you guys let me know if this is true or not? And they did, which was an amazing day.
Wow.
This is the voice of actor Tom Holland here on the Kevin DeBean Show, star of Spider-Man Homecoming in theaters everywhere on Friday, July 7th. There was a lot of press over this weekend, Tom, about your tattoo that you recently got, and I wondered if you could tell us the story about that.
Yeah, the tattoo was a very impulse thing. I was here in New York filming, and a friend of mine, her mom, was getting a tattoo at the studio called the Bang Bang Studio, and I know his work. You know, I've been a fan of his. So I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. How did you get on his list? She was like, he would do a tattoo on you in a heartbeat. So I started texting him. I was like, dude, I really want to get a Spider-Man tattoo. He's like, that would be so cool. Please come to the studio. Let's set it up. And I got there, and I told him what I wanted, which was the symbol from my chest on the suit dangling from a web. He's like, dude, that's so dope. I can't wait to do it. He's like, where do you want it? I was like, I'd like it on the bottom of my foot, please. And he was like, where do you want it? I was like, no, seriously, I want it on the bottom of my foot. He's like, dude, do you have any idea how much that's going to hurt? I was like, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Bearing in mind, I've never had a tattoo in my life.
Oh.
And it was agony.
Yeah, but that's a painful place.
I love it. I really love it because I forget I have it. And I didn't tell my parents I had one because my dad said if I ever got a tattoo, he'd like chop my arm off.
Well, he found out on Twitter, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. But I was doing a handstand in the kitchen of my house with no socks on, and my mum was like, what's that on your foot?
Oh, my gosh.
But they actually thought it was really cool. They really like it.
That is a cool tattoo, and that's something, no matter, I mean, and I'm sure you'll have a long, successful career, but you'll always look back on this special time in your life, and that'll be a great memory for you, I bet.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
What's the hardest thing about being Spider-Man in the movie? Is it the fly-in? Is it the wire work, or what?
It's the tightness of the suit in, you know, the general sort of male genitalia area.
I see.
The biggest challenge for me. I remember the first time I had to put the suit on, they gave me a thong. And excuse me, why are you handing me this? What do I have to wear this for? And, so getting used to that aspect of the suit was pretty complicated.
Tom, talk for a minute, if you would, about, I mean, I can't even imagine as an actor and as a movie fan what it must be like to work with Robert Downey Jr. I mean, he is such an icon. And Michael Keaton, for that matter, by the way. And you've got to feel like such a kid. And you show up and you've got these legends around you. Is it possible for you to put that out of your mind and just treat them like characters in a movie when you're acting with them?
Well, the cool thing is when you meet these guys is you realize very quickly that they are just regular guys, you know. They're very fun. They're easy to talk to. They're kind, welcoming, warm. The funny thing is with Michael is you'll be talking to him, having a good chat. He's a nice guy. They say action, and then he's terrifying. They're like, whoa, dude, okay, chill out. Whoa, what happened? So I was so lucky that I had two great guys, you know, supporting me in this movie. They're both fantastic in the movie, and fans are going to love them.
I mean, look at your life. You're hanging out with Batman. You're hanging out with Iron Man. You know, it's so insane. And I saw your tweet a couple of days ago where you said it was 2 years ago this week, I guess, that you got the Spider-Man role that just changed your life forever. And you just must feel like you're walking through life just pinching yourself.
You know, I don't want to pinch myself because I'm afraid I'll wake up. You know, I am having the time of my life, and I genuinely feel like the luckiest kid alive. I have the best fans. Everyone has been so supportive, and it's just been an absolute roller coaster, and I just really hope I get to keep going round.
Well, we're so very happy for your success and so excited to see this movie on the 4th of July weekend. It opens up everywhere on Friday, July 7th. Tom Holland, you're a good one, man. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Continued success to you, my friend.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you next.
Yoko Ono, we found out on Friday, was going to receive songwriting credit for John Lennon's Imagine.
Why so soon?
This is a new development.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Why?
I can't imagine why. The song came out in 1971.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, as an aside, not a number one record. How shocking is that when you think about a song as legendary, as classic as John Lennon's Imagine? It only went to number three. But that's, like I said,
I think
is
that's
an aside.
Not the point.
That's not the point at all.
Right, right.
Why in 1971 and 72 and 73 and 75 and 79 all the way up to 1980, if she helped write that song, why did John Lennon, her husband, not say, hey, let's share some songwriting credits on this baby? Why didn't that happen? Why does it take 40 years later for them to say, oh, you know what? Yoko inspired that song. She definitely played a part in writing that song. Let's give her the credit. It's kind of weird.
But she didn't write it. That's also kind of weird.
Here's what happened is the National Music Publishers Association in New York last Wednesday did a presentation where they showed a video from back in 1980, shortly before Mr. Lennon was shot, that said that Yoko deserved a songwriting credit because of her influence and her inspiration. So it came right from John Lennon's mouth.
That's not songwriting.
Here's a little bit of the song Imagine, if you're unfamiliar with the number.
Imagine all the people living.
By the way, usually when somebody gets added as a co-writer, they've lobbied for it because there's money to be made. In this case, she doesn't get a penny more as a co-songwriter because she's already the beneficiary of her late husband's estate. Right?
She's not doing it for money. Maybe she's doing it so people think she's a good songwriter.
I don't know, but we can ask her because Yoko Ono joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and it's been a long time. Yoko, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you can help us understand why all these years later this change was made in the songwriting credit to Imagine.
Because it is a meaningful for me to have this credit on the song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
John and I wrote it together, and we had so much shared spirituality when we wrote the song together.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but John Lennon was a freaking Beatle who wrote hundreds of legendary classic songs.
Yes.
And it seems unlikely that you, out of the blue, would help write this one when you're not known for writing any other good songs.
I did write the song with him. You know, it wasn't even a number one song. It only went to number three.
We heard that, yes.
That's surprising, isn't it?
It really is. Was that not the point, Yoko?
I did write the song, and it is very important to me because many of the lyrics I wrote, John did not use. We used some of his and some of mine.
Oh, I see. Well, which ones did you use specifically? He sang.
It was originally my version.
Okay, all right.
Imagine it!
Yoko.
That would not have improved the song. I think your husband made the right decision there.
So it split the difference.
So he didn't use any of that.
No.
All right. What part of what you wrote did he use?
The J in Imagine. That was you. But I wrote many of the Beatles' biggest hits with him.
What?
No.
More than That's Imagine? Not. What?
Maybe you remember this hit. Yesterday.
Okay.
Well,
Yoko?
I think they...
Far away.
Okay.
Oh, you wrote Far Away?
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
I think they cleaned that one up pretty well then, it sounds like.
And then also, after the Beatles broke up,
right.
I got together with Paul and we wrote a song together.
Oh, no kidding.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Maybe I'm a man.
Ouch.
This is painful, Yoko.
It really hurts.
Oh, good Lord.
And then this one. Hey, Jenna! Far away.
You do have a style.
Thank you.
It is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ FM, 8:52 in the morning. It is Friday, so we want to keep Friday as normal as possible, even though it is the best of Kevin and Bean. We don't want to let go of an amazing segment we've been having so much fun with on Fridays, Keep It 100, where we invite you, the K-Rock listener, to suggest a song you'd like to hear to kick off your weekend. Maybe something you don't hear very often here on K-Rock. We want you to text us at 1-800-520-1067. Text us the name of the song and your name, because we would like to talk to you live on the air. The 100th text we get with a suggestion for a song is the song we will play at the top of the hour in just a little bit after the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. We're going to play your song if you are the 100th texter at 1-800-520-1067 with your suggestion for a K-Rock song that you haven't heard in a while. If it's in our audio vault, if we have it in the system, we will play it for you, the 100th texter, right now. So text us at 1-800-520-1067. Let us know what song you'd like to hear. Maybe it's something you haven't heard in a while. Give us your name and the name of your song, and we're going to call you, and we will play it and keep it 100 in just a little bit. But in the meanwhile, let's get to the showbiz beat. This is pretty exciting. You want to be in Katy Perry's new music video? She's looking for dancers. She wants you to upload your best dance moves to YouTube or Instagram with the hashtag Swish Swish Challenge. It's for her new song, Swish Swish. You also have to tag at Katy Perry and at Dance On. You got to be at least 13 years old. You got to live in the U.S. Get your stuff up there by July 12th, and the video will be filmed later this month, so you might be in a Katy Perry video. I would do it, but my fear is she would fall desperately in love with me.
Sure.
And then what do I do? Then I'm a married man, and I got Katy Perry bugging me all the time because she can't resist me. Because once we meet, it's going to be kismet. Anyone buying this? No? Congratulations to Patton Oswalt, our buddy. He and his girlfriend, Meredith Salinger, got engaged. I was happy to see that news yesterday all over the Twitterverse. So they make a lovely couple. I just want to give them a shout out this morning because they're awesome. Hey, if you want a selfie with Sophie Turner, star of Game of Thrones, just ask her, would you please? She tells me to Marie Claire magazine that it's really rude. She says when people sneak up on her with their cell phones and like shoot over their shoulder or try to act like they're not taking her picture and they sneak one, she said it's very disturbing. I can imagine it would be. It's like you're being spied on. She calls it an invasion of privacy, and she said she'd much rather fans just come up and talk to her and ask for a photo, and she's always happy to oblige. But don't sneak a photo if you see her out and about. She also revealed that dating Joe Jonas is like living in a fishbowl. Well, then don't date Joe Jonas. Simple answer to that. By the way, a lot of people ask her if she is friends with any of her co-stars on Game of Thrones. She says, yeah, her best friend is Maisie Williams from that show as well. She said, relationships come and go, but friendship is always there. So, what's the female version of bros before hoes? Chicks before...
There it is.
Something else. So I guess that's her theory. We're taking your texts for Keep It 100 at 9 o'clock. We're going to play the 100th text we get with the name of a song you'd like to hear. In the meanwhile, speaking of music, there's new Coldplay music available. Yesterday, a new single dropped called Aliens. It is from their forthcoming EP, Kaleidoscope. It's going to be a 5-song EP that it'll be able to stream on the 14th, and then it'll be on CD in August, August 4th, I think. Brand new track, written by Brian Eno. He also produced this song as well. Pretty cool song. There's a video for it available as well. If you go to krock.com, you can check it out. But I thought you might want to hear a little brand new Coldplay. Here's a little of their song called Aliens. Good, that band. They got a lot going on.
Boy, it's a good song.
I thought this was interesting. Rolling Stone interview with Paul McCartney. He's still out there crushing it. Does like 3-hour shows, and he's in his 70s. And he said a lot of people bother him with the question that they noticed during a 3-hour concert that he puts on. He never drinks anything on stage, never drinks any water. Rolling Stone asked him about that, and he said there's a reason. He said, we never did that as the Beatles. He said, can you imagine the Beatles stopping, saying, excuse me, hang on, folks, and drink? We just didn't do that. I'm not raised in the drink water school, he said. Before and after, I'll do that. But once I get on stage, I stay on stage and I do my thing. He said, a sound guy often says to him, drink more water, man, drink more water. But he said, there's not a minute. I haven't got time. I'm too busy putting on the show. That's dumb and dangerous, right? You're an old man. Drink some water, for God's sakes. No one's gonna be upset if you stop and drink a little water.
What happens if his throat gets dry? How does he sing?
It doesn't, because he's a Beatle.
Oh.
It's crazy, though. You know, 71, 72? 3-hour concert, not drinking water. I think it's so he doesn't have to pee. I think he has to wear Depends or run off stage at 72. You drink a little water, you can't control that bladder anymore. You know what I'm saying? Okay, the texts are coming in. What do we got here? We got, we got some good choices. All right, keep texting. We're looking for the 100th text. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to text with your name and the song you want to hear. We're going to keep it 100 just after the top of the hour. Today's celebrity birthdays: Ringo Starr, speaking of Beatles, 77 years old today. Shelley Duvall is 68 years old. Jim Gaffigan turns 51. Georgia Fox from CSI is 49 years old today. Tonight at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose, doing our Hollywood Babylon show. Love to have you come on and join us. It's improv.com. It's where you can get your tickets. Stick around. After the top of the hour, we're going to play your song. We're going to keep it 100. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Yes, 9:05. On the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7. That's a way to kick off your Friday. Another way to kick off your Friday is with Keeping It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100, bitch. I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100. I keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
That's right. On Fridays, we like to take your text at 1-800-520-1067. And the 100th texter who suggests a song they would like to hear to kick off their weekend, that's the one we play. We had some great ones that were very close. In the upper 90s, we had like Bulls on Parade by Rage. Aaron suggested that. Rudy suggested Supersonic by Oasis. But it was this gentleman who was the 100th texter. Can we get him on the phone? Let's get this guy on the phone and see what song he would like to play to kick off his weekend. We do it every Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We keep it 100, and we're going to keep it 100 with this gentleman if he answers his phone.
Fingers crossed.
Are we ringing?
Yeah.
Is it ringing?
It's going through.
There we go. Let's see if he picks up.
Hello?
Jim?
Yes, sir.
It's Ralph from the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's happening, man?
How you doing, sir?
Awesome.
You are a 100th texter. You were the one who got to choose what song you would like to have to kick off the weekend with Keep It 100. What song can we play for you today?
How about Pictures of You by The Cure?
Oh, a little Cure.
Hi!
Hi! Who's saying hi in the background?
That's my son. We listen to you every morning.
What's your son's name?
His name's Jimmy.
You're Jim, too, right?
Yes, sir.
And he's Jimmy? Very creative. I like it. Hi, Jimmy. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jimmy.
Jimmy Jr.
All right, we're going to play Pictures of You by The Cure for you to kick off your weekend, Jim. Thanks for listening, man.
Thank you.
100.
Hey! As they say, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Last one of the week on a Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37, I want to say, in the morning. Thanks so much for tuning in, boys and girls. We truly appreciate it. Tonight at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I, my buddy, we're going to be taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose. We're going to be doing our Hollywood Babylon show. Love to have you come out and join us. If you're so inclined, you can go to improv.com to get your tickets. And meanwhile, let's take one last look at all the show business news before we kick the weekend into hyperdrive. This will not stand. There is a Guinness World Record set for the largest gathering of people dressed as cats this week. This is not a record. This is not a thing that should happen. But 440 cat fans converged on the town of Kuching in Malaysia in full-body cat costumes with ears and whiskers and a tail. They all gathered together to break the record like there was one. Like there was a previous record for largest gathering of people dressed as cats. Anyway, 440 is the record. If you want to break it this weekend, if you want to get 500 of your friends together and dressed up as cats.
No way. No way.
Right? Andrew Garfield ticked off a bunch of people this week. He's in a production of Angels in America, and he plays a gay man in that production. And he told the interviewer that he's done so much research, he's a gay man right now, just without the physical act. And he said he prepared for his latest role by watching RuPaul's Drag Race with a group of friends every Sunday night. Oh, don't. Just don't. Just shh. Don't. As you can imagine, people who are actually gay did not appreciate his comments, saying that he had a very limited view of what being gay actually is, and maybe just watching RuPaul's Drag Race once a week doesn't qualify. Congratulations to our pal Patton Oswalt. He and his now fiance Meredith Salinger announced yesterday they were getting married. I was happy to see this lovely couple, very much in love. Meredith, you may remember her from The Journey of Natty Gann, the classic Disney film. Opposite John Cusack in that film. And Patton's a friend, and we love him here on the show, and we're so happy that those guys are getting married. So, making us look bad, being all in love and stuff. And speaking of love, Joan Lee, who was married to the Marvel Comics legend Stan Lee for 69 years, has passed away. She was 93 years old. She had a stroke earlier this week and then passed away. So 93, it's a pretty good run. 69 years together. It's said that we have Joan Lee to thank for the Fantastic Four. Stan Lee was ready to quit the comic book business, and his wife reportedly said to him, "Before you go, you should write one comic book the way you would like to do it. Instead of listening to everybody else, you should write one the way you would want to do it." And apparently that's where the Fantastic Four came from, so we have her to thank for that. Ang Lee is working on a new sci-fi film called Gemini Man. Interesting concept that, by the way, has been bouncing around for about 20 years. First version was supposed to be shot in 1997 of this script. And it's been going between directors and film companies ever since, and now it looks like it's going to happen. The most recent script version was done by co-creator and showrunner of Game of Thrones named David Benioff. And here's the premise. I think it's pretty cool. There's an NSA agent who has announced to his superiors that he's going to retire. This does not sit well with them. He knows too much. And so he ends up being targeted by an assassin who happens to be a younger clone of himself. Pretty interesting concept. Kind of like what we saw in Looper with Bruce Willis. And who's the dude who was in that,
I didn't see that movie.
You didn't see Looper?
No.
It's he was in Dark Knight.
Who do you play in Dark Knight?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah, I got it before you did. But this one will start Will Smith reportedly playing the older agent and the young clone as well. But now they got all that CGI stuff that can make somebody look young in the movie, so I'm guessing that's how they pull it off. I don't know. Could be cool. Hey, don't forget, when you drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, thanks to our friends at Honda. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers, and we appreciate them doing that for us. Let's take a look at the today's celebrity birthdays. Ringo Starr, 77 years old. Shelley Duvall is 68. Jim Gaffigan turns 51 years old. Georgia Fox is 49. Come on back next week for for more Kevin and Bean. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. I'm Ralph Garman. Love you. Bye.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Megan Fox, why do you have weird thumbs?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Where's the outrage there?
Roll another one.
Hoochie coochie.
Just like the other one.
In my opinion, that sucked.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Why?
And I need another hit.
Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz? Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
My kind of comedy.
Just like the other one.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
This one seems to be about to end.
Ugh, this guy's the worst.
I don't have another cent.
Why do you think the song is in Paris is called Paris? Because it was in Paris.
What
are you going to do for 69?
Just pass it along.
Please, Kevin, not in the face.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Just pass it on down.
Thanks again for the party. I need to not be here anymore.
You know what? This conversation is over. I'm really not interested.
I don't care what you want. I don't care what they want. It's over. Let's go.
Let's go. Come on, let's go. No time for fooling around. Let's hustle. Let's go. Let's hustle!
He's down on the phone.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
So stick around. We'll both be back, right back.
I love you, Poppy.
That must have been a moment of party.